to the teardown, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the teardown.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All they know.
We about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program. 25 bags of crush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty want that wave, get the program. Shorty want that wave, what's the program? Throwing through the air, what's the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Another week, another episode. Tales from the Terror Dome. It's your boy Dan. You know how I hold it down. It's the off season, baby. We're getting into these interviews. And I got a good one today, man. I've gotten to know this dude a little bit over the past 2 years. And he definitely, you know, stands on business. He holds his own. He helps his team. He is the director of player personnel for your Virginia Tech Hokies. He is Alex Jones. How you doing, my man?
Good, brother. Appreciate you having me on. Can't wait to talk some ball.
Absolutely. First of all, though, how often do you get mistaken on like social media for the other one?
Bro, I wish I could show you my mentions sometimes. Like, if there's good ones, my interns usually find them and send them to me. And from time to time, I'll post them on like my Instagram story too. If they're just like completely off the wall, I'll be like, yo, y'all got the wrong guy. Like, whatever you're mad at, I ain't do anything. And all the people you say are mad at me, they don't know who I really am. So, you got me confused with the other ones.
Man, that's great. I told somebody, I was like, yeah, I'm interviewing Alex Jones today. And they were like, ha, insert joke here. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm sure he hears. I had to find out if you do catch strays or not.
Yeah, man. The worst is when I like do like to go orders or like anything like that. Anybody always has some joke or tries to be funny about it. I'm just like, yeah, like 29 years ago, my parents didn't know. And back then, it was just a normal name.
Right. You wear a lot of hats and none of them are tinfoil.
Exactly.
So where are you from, man?
I grew up in Charleston, West Virginia. So I'm about two and a half hours from home right now in Blacksburg.
Charleston. Like, I'm a little familiar.
Yeah.
I'm not massively familiar.
Yeah, most people drive through it. They don't really drive there to go see much. But I grew up there. And no, I'm a proud West Virginian.
Heck yeah, man. I went to Marshall. Everybody knows this. I spent some time in Huntington, so I got a lot of love for West Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been all over. You know, we'll get into it, kind of my path and everything. But obviously, I spent 3 years in Huntington. Marshall was kind of my first opportunity in college football. So I'm incredibly grateful to that place for, you know, giving me that restarting point, career wise.
Yeah. I had, like a year and a half ago, I think I had AJ Hampton on here and he brought up WVU Tech. He was like, a lot of people don't, or West Virginia Tech. He was like, a lot of people don't know where that place is. And I was like, I do. I used to pass the sign all the time.
Yeah. AJ was at State.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So he was around like the Dunbar area of West Virginia.
So what was life like growing up in Charleston? Because everybody knows about like the opioid, like all the stuff going on in West Virginia, but it hasn't always been the case.
Right. I mean, I grew up in I feel like I had a pretty normal upbringing, man. Never exposed to anything like that. Charleston's a beautiful place. You know, they don't have too many crazies running around or anything. And, you know, I was blessed with the family I had. And, you know, like I said earlier, I'm proud to be where I'm from. I got no shame in it at all. And obviously everybody has jokes about West Virginia or everything. But like until you go there and see it, like actually see it. And I think that's one of the most interesting things about like Marshall when we were recruiting kids, you know, and they would come on visits and they have this idea in their head of what the state of West Virginia is like. And then you actually get there and get exposed to like the people, the nature, you know, some of the stuff to do there that people don't realize you get to do. And it's special. It's different, but it's special. So like I said,
yeah, no, I always try to tell people, I'm like, look, Huntington is not like what you think West Virginia is. And the people there, like I got nothing but love for them because they're very resilient people. Yeah. Like they've been through a lot. like from the, not even from just the plane crash, but like everything. And I was like, they're solid people. So when we played there this year, I was like, if y'all get a chance, you got to go. You got to experience these people for yourself because you'll love them.
Yeah. Marshall has the greatest comeback story in sports history. It was 1,000%. A program completely decimated by a tragedy. And instead of canceling it, they completely rebuilt it. And even to have the success that they had of Chad Pennington and Randy Moss and some of the other legends to have gone through there and still have success at the level they're at and continue to get better. So it's almost unmatched. No, nothing really compares to it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the Hokie connections are strong there. You know, Frank Loria, and then all the way to, you know, well, Coach Pry's dad was the member of the Young Thundering Herd. Like, J.C. Price coached there. I think Cornell Brown, he coached there. He was a Hokie. You were there. Like, it's just a bunch.
Yeah. All good people.
Did you play sports in high school?
Yeah. Yeah, I attempted. I mean, I played 4 years of football in high school.
I got you. And then, like, where did you end up going to college?
So I was about a 5'8", 240-pound offensive lineman, so clearly a sought-after top prospect. A lot of the schools that you can say were recruiting me or looked at me, you know, D3 level. But I was passionate about football, and I wanted to keep playing. So I kind of toured some Division IIIs in the area and a couple of the Division II in-state schools. And I actually ended up taking a visit to Baldwin-Wallace University, which is in Berea, Ohio, and it's about 15 minutes outside of Cleveland. And the head coach at the time's name was John Snell. And actually, interestingly enough, John Snell was on the staff at Buffalo when Coach Pry went to Buffalo, was playing football at Buffalo. So they actually know each other. And I found that out when I got here. But great dude. And he just really sold me on the university and just the kind of human being he was. Like, I felt that was best for me, and I thought the area was what was best for me. And, you know, it was someplace I would go to even if I wasn't interested in playing football. And, you know, it felt like a fit, and I was happy to go there and spent 4 years there with all my boys and all the camaraderie we built while I was up there. You know, it's a special place for me. It helped me become who I am today, and, you know, forever indebted to that school.
Hey, man, there's a lot of good football at the D3, D2 level. Like, my boy that I played with, I had one go to Marshall, and then I had one go to Glenville State. And the one that went to Glenville State, actually, he said football was amazing there. Like, the town, like, he was so bored. But he said, like, from a football standpoint, he had a blast.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that level of football, that Division II level of football, yeah, that's good ball. I spent time at Fairmont State at one point for a year, and we were 10-2. It was a really good football team. There were some talented guys on there, and one guy got a crack at the NFL. And no, there's good football players everywhere.
So you went to play college ball. At what point did you kind of decide, like, at what point did you have some clarity on the kind of path you were trying to take post playing?
I think the interesting thing was I wanted to be an athletic trainer. That's actually what I started out as going to college. And for me, the passion I had for football, I didn't feel like that field was close enough to what I wanted to do from a professional standpoint. I had grown up watching, you know, football my entire life, and I wanted to find the fit for me to keep being a part of that. I had a really bad concussion history in college. I just hit with my head a lot. I was short, so low man wins. So I just kind of lived by that. And it actually made me step away because of the amount of concussions I had. So that point in my sophomore year, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, you're a football player until your entire life, and then you aren't. So you got to find out who you are. It happens to everybody that hangs up the cleats. So then I kind of was looking for opportunities, worked my way in. I helped the team that year, like helped out with the offensive line, did the filming, kind of pivoted to some event management with the university and other sports. And I actually ended up changing my major because a buddy of mine was a sport management major. And I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know working in sports from like a business angle was even possible. It was something I never thought of. And, you know, I changed my major, and we actually worked Super Bowls. That was part of the program. from a networking experience standpoint. And the first one I worked was Super Bowl 49, which was in Arizona. That was the Patriots and Seahawks where they threw the goal line interception. And I remember walking into, I think it was University of Phoenix Stadium, and just sitting down. Nobody's even in there yet. And I sat down. I was like, I want to be in the NFL. Like, I want to do whatever I can to be a part of this one day, to be competing for a Super Bowl, to be at that level of competition. So right then and there, I knew what I wanted to do. It was just a matter of making it happen after that.
Man, that's a heck of a game to be at.
Yeah, I still got the video on my phone. For the goal line interception,
yeah,
man. I was eating like a chocolate covered strawberry on a stick or something. I was starving, but I had like I had that in my left hand and my phone recording because I thought they were gonna win, and they throw that pick. We're in like a Seattle Seahawks section, like just standing trying to watch the game, and just the reaction was, man, it was crazy. I didn't have no stake in the game at all. I'm a Browns fan, so it didn't matter to me who won or who lost that one.
Did you grow up a Browns fan, or
No, I wish I could say I did. I kind of grew up liking whatever my favorite player was out of college, and just kind of trended that team. I liked the Saints for a while because Reggie Bush is like one of the craziest high school football players I've ever, or even college football players I ever watched. So I grew up liking the Saints a good bit, and then the Browns were my first job I ever got. And I'd gone to school in the Cleveland area. So you just see like the love those people have for that, not only that team, but Cleveland sports in general. And I hopped on it. I stayed with it. It's just, they gave me my first opportunity, and I wanted to stay loyal to them. And I still cheer for the Browns to this day. And I'll cheer for them till, very end at this point.
That's awesome. There's a ton of Steeler fans in West Virginia just because Pittsburgh's like, well, I guess it depends on where you are.
Yeah, my dad's a Steelers fan. He likes the Steelers and the Cowboys, and I can't stand either of them. I don't know. As a kid, whatever he liked, I didn't really latch on to. I just kind of rooted against them. But, I mean, he's got the last laugh for me at the end of the day, being a Steelers fan and all the championships they've won. So, Browns will get theirs one day. I'll have something to talk about eventually.
Yeah, none of my favorite teams ever came from anybody I was related to. Like, they don't give a damn about like any of that. Like, I'm the most gung-ho sports person in my family, I'm pretty sure. My uncle's a Raiders fan, but I'm a Broncos fan, so obviously we don't talk
football season,
but
yeah, no problem.
Were you working for the Browns when you did the Super Bowl, or was that before?
No, I didn't work for the Browns till I was a senior. I worked for the Browns my senior summer. And then I was fortunate enough to be brought on as the operations intern for the season afterward. It was Hugh Jackson's first year. We went 1-15. And then they went 0-16 the following year after I left. So I guess I've always joked like my value is like one NFL win.
Yeah, you're one win above replacement.
Yeah.
So that's crazy, though, because you're sitting in that stadium and you're like, I'm going to work in the NFL. So how did the chance to work with the Browns come about? What was that process like?
So where our university was, the team facilities in the exact same town. The Browns facilities in Berea and my university was in Berea. And they had the relationship with our university. Our football building on campus is actually the old Browns football facility. They actually used to do like all their camps like way back in the day at Baldwin Wallace. So there's that. And then we would do our spring practices in their indoor. So that relationship between the school and the team was kind of already built. And I don't know if my professor told me about it or somebody had reached out about, applying for these opportunities to work for the Browns to have summer internships. And now I'm still trying to figure all this stuff out. I have no idea what I'm doing. And there was an opportunity with social media. There was an opportunity with events. And there was an opportunity with operations. I didn't even know what ops was. But it sounded the closest like what I wanted to be a part of. So I went with it. And I interviewed with the director of operations at the time, Simon Gallon, Bryant Swindle, and Will Black, who was their operations department. And I was just fortunate enough. I didn't say anything stupid enough for them to not want to bring me in as one of the summer interns. There was probably about eight of us. And I would hope it was either location or the job I did at the time, but I was just fortunate enough that they offered me that opportunity to be the guy for the season following that summer.
You were one year too late for Johnny Football.
I was. Imagine quarterbacks on our roster at that time were Josh McCown, RG3, and Cody Kessler.
Wow. Could you imagine? Man, that would have been nuts to be there for the Johnny fiasco.
Yeah. I was rooting for him, too. I thought he was going to be the one for that team. I was upset it wasn't him. I remember driving back one time when he got his first playing time. We were playing the Bills or something like that, and he rattled off like a 20-yard run. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to take us to a Super Bowl. Like, we wanted to believe it so bad.
Yeah, man. I rooted for Johnny so hard because I was a big Johnny fan in college. Like, I kind of like – I'm a big fan of the flamboyance, man. I like I was a big Baker guy, too. Like, after, like, Kansas, like, disrespected him and he just went nuts, I was like, yeah, I kind of like the attitude in my quarterback. And Kyron Drones kind of has that don't disrespect me attitude as well that I really love. But – man, yeah, Josh McCown and RG3. RG3 is a character, though. I don't know how much like interaction you at your level had with them, but that dude is crazy.
Yeah, no issues with. I don't have any like crazy story about my time there. Really, you're not really exposed to a ton. A lot of the operation stuff is like the team travel, the player accommodation, the getting everybody set up, moving them to and from hotel setup. A lot of the behind the scenes stuff.
Did you do this in between going to WVU or was this after WVU?
I went to WVU. So after my year with the Browns, I was up January 1st. That was the end of the internship. And I still wanted to, I thought ops is what I wanted to do. I wanted to keep working in the NFL. And, you know, my boss at the time kind of helped push me somewhere else where I could keep getting experience while I was also accepted to WVU for grad school. For sport management. So I kind of needed something I could keep doing while trying to get that. Cause I knew if I didn't go get my master's, I would never get it. If I didn't do it while I was still like had that like how to work in school mentality, I don't think I would have gone back and done it. So I was fortunate enough. I ended up working with the Detroit Lions as their summer operations intern. And then I actually got to work a road game for them while I was attending West Virginia in the fall when they played the Baltimore Ravens. Just trying to keep, you know, that relationship alive with Derek Stamnos and Frank Bestich, who were the two guys in operations at the time for the Lions. And it was Coach Caldwell's final year in Detroit. So that was kind of my summer gig rolling into my master's program. I only went to West Virginia for a year. I got my master's in a year.
I got you. Did you grow up a WVU fan?
Oh, man, the biggest. The biggest, like I remember crying when we missed that kick and lost to Pitt and didn't go to the national championship. Like I grew up a West Virginia fan. I worked for Marshall. I worked for Virginia Tech. So like God's got a sense of humor or something. Cause my dad like always has jokes about it too. Like you grow up in West Virginia, like you like WVU or Marshall, like those are your teams.
Yeah.
I mean, other people have different alliances. I understand that, but that's where the state's torn.
Oh yeah. I remember We lost a stinker to Matt Ryan that year. It cost us a lot that season. And then my only, like, it brought me so much joy when Pitt beat WVU and cost them going to Natty because I was like, somebody else shares my pain now.
I know. I get it.
Yeah, we're kind of reversed. Like, you grew up a WVU fan, but I grew up a Tech fan. I went to Marshall. So I got no love for WVU, although I would love for them to be put back on our schedule. I know like it's hard to do, but that Black Diamond Trophy rivalry growing up was crazy and I miss it.
It's a game that should be played every year. Like I remember watching those games growing up, you know, the success and the heartbreak of both. And it's a very passionate rivalry. I think we saw it, you know, our first year here when we played them. Hopefully we can somehow, if not every year, get it done again at some point to play them, because I think it's good for both states. I think it's good to have that rivalry and keep that trophy game alive.
Yeah, because that school in Charlottesville is not giving us any problems. But all jokes aside, like I really thought that there was going to be a chance when all the bowl hysteria was going on that we were going to end up in Charlotte to play WVU.
I want
just to open.
Bad, man. Bad. Especially just the way we finished the year and the team we had. To have that opportunity to play a team that had the success like they did and how we were trying to finish the year, I thought it would have been a really good matchup. And but both those fan bases would have went crazy. That bowl game would have sold out.
Oh, it would have sold out in 5 minutes. So what after the Lions, what happened? Because it was kind of like, you know, like how did you – where did you pivot from there?
So I don't know how it was set up exactly for an opportunity to go back there. You know, in order to keep working in the NFL, whatever it was. That's why I tried to get my master's in a year as opposed to doing the standard two. And I tried to get a GA ship somewhere at West Virginia, and it didn't work. I had a couple interviews, but they went with other people. And I ended up doing some events and operations work at a Division II school down the road called Fairmont State, which is in Fairmont, West Virginia. It's kind of the split in between Clarksburg and Morgantown. I didn't have anything. I sat there, I had my master's and I had no plans, no opportunity, no jobs, no nothing. And I needed experience in football. And I thought if I wasn't going to be in the NFL, I got to figure out how to get my foot in the door for college. And my grandfather had just passed recently, and my grandmother was by herself in Clarksburg, and, you know, which is close to Fairmont. And, you know, it kind of made a lot of sense that I would live with her for a year and, you know, spend some time together with her while also working and getting experience at Fairmont. And I was the DFO there. That was the title. It was a complete volunteer position. I was helping out with practice, spotting the ball, doing everything for the head coach, helping out with, you know, anything and everything. And it was tough, but it was a lot of good experience. And I think from having been in the NFL at a young age, even as just an intern, I had that, like, I made it mentality. And, you know, I've matured enough to admit that to myself and other people that I don't know if the drive that I had to get into the NFL was with me while I was there. So kind of getting knocked on my ass a little bit, you know, and you're going from an NFL organization to a Division II football program as a volunteer. It was going to test me if I loved it or not. You know, I didn't quit. I was there till I got the opportunity at Marshall, and, you know, family's very important to me. My grandmother's still with me. She's one of the most important people in my life. And, you know, it's the best roommate I've ever had, you know, so.
Hey man, you were working for free, but those, grandma's home cooked meals, they probably paid off twice oh, over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably better than the money.
Yeah, I remember being at Marshall and my grandma was like, "You need money?" I was like, "Nah, send me a bunch of meals." She like boxed up a bunch of meals that you could ship and she sent them to me. And it was like, man, it was the best that thing ever happened to me. But yeah, people think, you know, working in sports is like the most cool thing, like so amazing. And it can be. Like, I had a lot of friends that, you know, they worked in sports and I know about their experiences, but I feel like they're, you're going to eat some humble pot at some point on the way up, you know? So yeah. Spotting balls, working for free for a D2 school, like, can't imagine it was the most fun thing at all times.
No, but we had a hell of a team. I mean, it was a 10-2 football team. So, you know, at least being able to be a part of the success of that program from that year too, no, it was special. And I wish all those guys the best that have moved on to other things now. And, you know, that staff. I appreciate them for having me as well.
Absolutely. And what was your next opportunity? How did you catapult from there?
So Brady Mangus, who was the compliance director for Marshall at the time, I had gone to high school with him. He's now a compliance director at Liberty University. I was sending out resumes. I was looking for anything, any opportunity I could get to at least jump or move up or start getting paid something. And he had passed my resume along to Mike Trier, who's now the safeties coach for the New York Giants. He was the secondary coach and recruiting coordinator for Doc Holliday at Marshall. And he had reached out to me about an opportunity. And the funny thing at the time was when Coach Brown got hired at WVU, they had an intern interest meeting. You know, I'm 2 years removed from college, 1 year removed from my master's. I'm like, I'm just going to show up and introduce myself. It's not like they're going to check student IDs or anything like that. So I'm full suit, old head at this interest meeting and, you know, just sitting there listening and wait for it to end. And I go and introduce myself to their staff. And you know, I'm trying to, you know, I'll work for free. I'll do whatever. I was already working for free anyway. So at least I'd be doing it for a team I grew up rooting for. And, you know, it, I did get an interview, and there's probably some limitations to probably being able to bring in actual students at the time and everything like that. And I remember I had told them, Marshall had reached out to me, should I take the opportunity with them, or, you know, is there a chance for me? And they told me to take the opportunity with Marshall. They couldn't do anything or guarantee anything for me. So I'd end up moving out of my grandmother's, moving back home to my parents' home in Charleston, West Virginia. And I was a volunteer recruiting coordinator for Marshall for about 4 or 5 months. So I would commute from Charleston to Huntington every day, you know, just kind of cut my teeth there and trying to get experience and learn everything recruiting, because I didn't know anything recruiting. I knew, my entire background was ops, you know, but I was happy because it gave me an opportunity to get closer to ball in my mind, you know, that scouting, that evaling, that communication, you know, being able to learn that was big for me. And then eventually both guys had left. They're in the department. One's now the DPP at Wake Forest, and one's now the DFO at Miami, Florida. So, you know, the guy that's at Miami now, his name is Brandon LeBlanc. He actually left Marshall to go be the DFO at Murray State, which allowed me to move into his role as the assistant DPP at Marshall. So, you know, I appreciate him. It helped us both get to the pass we wanted to get on. And, you know, that's my guy too. And I wish him the best, and I appreciate him for allowing me to do that as well. But that was my first gig at Marshall, was as a volunteer for a couple months, and then I got that part-time role as the assistant DPP, and I was that for 3 years.
For context, the Hokie Nation, Alex was driving an hour each way every day for free for several months.
Yeah, I got some fat patties from time to time.
Hey, nothing wrong with fat patties.
Yeah.
And you got to wear that, the best green in the business.
Yeah, it was clean.
So you worked part time for 3 years.
Yeah. I was the role was part time. The title and everything like that. You know, wasn't much money, a little free housing. You know, the coaches were fair to us. It was an interesting time too, having worked college football for 1 year, and then COVID hit. You know, and then Coach Holiday was let go, and then Coach Huff comes in, and that's how I meet Mike V. And you know, that Mike V's my guy, man. He's taking care of me probably from the first day I met him. You know, I owe him more in my life and career as much as I do anybody.
Were you, Villagrana, and Cammy Cole all at Marshall at the same time?
We were. So I had already been there. I had been there for 2 seasons with Coach Holiday. It was a 2-man recruiting department. And Coach Huff came in, and obviously new staff. He's going to bring his own guys in. And you know, we went from 2 to 4, so we kind of doubled the size, and Mike headed up everything recruiting. And I didn't even know if I was getting kept, because I'd watched everybody kind of walk out that door, and you know, I was kind of hoping I would, wasn't for sure. And at the time, Tim Cramsey was the offensive coordinator. He was held over by Coach Huff to run the offense, and he had either gotten word or knew who they were bringing in, obviously, because he was on staff, and he gave me Mike V's contact. And I hate it, but I sent some, I'm sure, long, sappy, emotional texts about, like, you know, I'll grind, I'll do whatever, like, I want to be here, blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear anything for, like, a day. I'm like, oh, my gosh, man. Like, I just keep not knowing, and then I'm, like, laying in my bed one night, and he texts me back, like, appreciate it, like, excited to work with you. And one day, I still didn't even know. I just walked in that office and was like, yo, are y'all keeping me? Like, I kind of want to know. And he was like, yeah. Yeah, we are. I'm like, oh, perfect. I loved it. Loved getting the opportunity to work with them and learn from him. You know, that's my guy, man.
Can't imagine what you were going through mentally. If I would have sent a long text and I was like, get back as appreciate you, I would have been like, no. I was like, they're getting rid of me. But
man. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't no Casanova growing up, so I'm used to being left on red.
Nah, hey, respect. Builds character. Dang, so that was – what was Doc Holiday was an interesting dude, though. What was your experiences like working with that guy?
Old school dude, but I think the best thing about Coach Holiday, and probably one of the better things I saw, was, like, the COVID season. Like, that team was so bought in to the opportunity, the goal of that season. I mean, we were 7-0 at one point. We were ranked. I want to say the highest we were ranked at that point was like 15th in the country. It was Grant's freshman year, and he was tearing it up, and that defense was special. And you know, the guys weren't going out doing stupid stuff. Like the leaders on that team, from the coaching staff to the captains, all those guys, everybody was so bought in on you know, trying to win the conference and win every game we played, and just, you know, we didn't have any issues at all, really, that season, from main contributors at least. That was just a really good team, and I thought Coach Holliday did a good job holding everybody together and keeping everybody accountable there.
Yeah, I always thought he was a really good coach at Marshall.
Yeah, he had a ton of success there. Staff I worked with there did an incredible job as well.
Yeah, I remember watching Grant there and being really excited when he came to Tech.
Yeah.
It didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out, but I got nothing but respect and love for Grant Wells.
100%.
And then, I mean, they were building some up there too, because I feel like they, you know, lightning struck with Rasheen Ali being as good as he was. And then, yeah, man, shout out Marshall. Where were your favorite places to go there?
Oh, man, Roosters.
Yeah.
I would crush Roosters at least 2-3 times a week. And the Peddler. Those are probably my favorite restaurants. I love Chris Eats too. I liked Christopher's a lot.
Yeah. I was a big Tudor's guy. Tudor's biscuits, man.
I can't eat that stuff. I'm trying not to at least. I caved. I had some when I was back in Clarksburg a couple weeks ago. I caved and I got a biscuit. That's my yearly thing now.
Yeah, bro. I haven't had it. When I went back for that game this year, it was the first time I'd had it in like 12 years.
Me too, the one in Huntington.
Yeah, the OG. It's the only one I've ever been to.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Fat Patty's is always good. But
yeah, Fat's a solid.
The spot I went to when I was there, it was, oh man, it's on the corner. It's the double, it's like two stories. It's like right, man, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but I had a good time there. And then the union's been around forever. It moved, but yeah.
I probably visited that more my first year than I did on my third year there. But yeah, the union's a good spot.
Yeah, for sure. So Mike V takes the job with Brent, when Brent Pry gets hired at Virginia Tech. How does this whole thing go down with this mass exodus from Marshall to Blacksburg?
What's funny is, I forget what time of year it was. Maybe it was before we went to our bowl game. We played in the New Orleans Bowl my last year in Marshall. And Mike asked me if I would go to Virginia Tech, and I told him no. Like, I was so loyal to Mike, I didn't want to leave, like, him at the time. Like, I wanted to keep learning and growing from him. And he goes, oh, cool. Well, I'm going to Virginia Tech. Would you be interested in coming with me? I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I remember being in our bowl game, watching Coach Pry's introductory press conference, thinking I was going, and I still got here, but it was a much different like pathway and journey than I probably thought, you know, in December of that year.
So you ended up at Virginia Tech. What was your initial role on the team? Actually, no, back up. You mentioned that your path did not go the way you wanted it to. What does that mean?
Not the way I wanted it to, the way I thought it would.
Not the way you thought it would. What does that mean?
So I kind of had the idea that I was going around the same time Mike and Cammy were coming in. It didn't happen. And Mike, there are other people in the role that he wanted to hire me for at the time, and there were other people they were interviewing, and et cetera, et cetera. So I had ended up, and he wasn't even sure he could bring me either. So I actually ended up interviewing at two other Group of Five jobs. And I interviewed at another ACC Power Five job. And I had interviewed at a Pac-12 university as well during all this time. And it's funny, I didn't get either of the G5 jobs. I finished close with the other ACC team. And then I actually got offered a job by the former Pac-12 team. And at the time, I was waiting to get my opportunity. This was close to like March or April by the time I actually got into the interviewing process with Virginia Tech. And timing wise, I actually ended up having to accept another job because I didn't want to be stuck in a situation where I was on the part-time stuff for another year. I wanted to take that leap. And the other school just kind of came in first and pushed hard and needed an answer. So I'd actually taken that job. And I think Tech had actually offered this job to somebody else anyway. So I'm getting ready to move to this other school. And I get contacted like the night before I'm about to drive, saying that the guy that Tech offered the job to turned it down. And I was like, wow. And it was like, you know, we can get you here now. And I remember being like, no, I'd given my word to this other school. Like they gave me the opportunity first. Like I'm good. But I had just, it kept eating at me. And I wanted to work with Mike again badly. And I'd talked with Coach Pry, and he just was like, I just knew I wanted to be at Tech. I wanted to be at Tech since December. I wanted to be with these guys and build this program. And the other school was already good. Like me going there, they were going to be good. Me not going there, they were going to be good. Like I wanted to come in with this group and be the group that like helped do something, get Tech back to where it was, whatever that means, whatever that takes. And my parents were sitting there with me and they were like kind of upset because I had given my word and I was going to go back on it. But at the same time, like it just made so much sense. I'm 2 hours from home. My parents can still be in my life. They can come to all these games and I get to learn from the guy that's been teaching me, and I want to keep growing from him and work for somebody like Coach Pry. So, you know, I just said, you know, screw it, I'm coming. And I called the other school and I apologized, but I just told them this is what was best for me. And you know, they understood that, they were cool about it. They had no ill will towards me at all. And, you know, I'm going into year three here, and I'm blessed, man. I love it. The people I work with, our staff, the town, the fans, the recruits, the players, like I can't imagine being anywhere else. I can't imagine not having taken this role.
Hey man, you weren't the first choice, but you were the right choice. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Whatever gets me here and however I get here, that's what matters at the end of the day.
Nah, 1,000%. What was your initial title when you got on campus?
I was the assistant DPP. So I was the assistant DPP and I still was with the defensive side of the ball.
And now you're the director of player personnel.
Yeah, they just dropped the assistant part.
So for the casual out here that has no idea what that means, as much as you can you explain your role?
Yeah, so the way I would look at it is the scouting perspective of how Tech evaluates talent, searches it, board building, travel. You know, I assist in that as much as I possibly can. And then when I've been here the past couple of years, I've kind of handled, at least from the information portion or the recommendation portion of the transfer portal, I'm kind of communicating that amongst our staff and assisting with that as much as possible. So just all the, and then I got a friggin' army of guys. I probably got 20 interns in here that helped me from just the scouting perspective. And then Jalen has her crew too. I think underneath her, between both of us, it's like 46, 47 interns that come to this building every day that help with the recruiting process. And there's not a word in the dictionary that probably describes how grateful we are to have all these guys come in and girls on a daily basis and contribute to the program and the football program. From the recruiting perspective, if I could sit here and name every single one of them, I would, but I don't want this to run too long because I already feel like I'm talking way too much. But I just want the guys from the past to the guys in the present that have come through this intern program, forever indebted to them and appreciative of them and everything they do for us.
Nah, I mean, I'm just going to put your mind at ease. You are not talking too much. Perfect. And trust me, I would rather you talk too much than not talk enough, because then my job gets extra hard and awkward. But
Jalen's gonna be fun of me after this no matter what, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Oh, she knows you're coming on?
Oh yeah. Well, she may not, but when she hears this, she will. There's gonna be sound bites or something.
Hey man, it's gotta be reassuring as hell to know that when you do your job, like you do your job, and then once they get on campus, you know that she gonna hold it down.
Yeah, Jalen and her girls, and how, you know, this department works in general when it comes to visits, staff, coaches, strength staff, athletic training, everybody, nutrition, you know, it's the difference maker for us. It helps us build these relationships and paint the picture for these families, what Virginia Tech is like. I try to give, and I want to give, as much recognition and praise to everybody on our staff as much as I possibly can. And I'd much rather talk about what all they do more than myself. I don't want to, you know, make it sound any which way or form like one person does one thing the best or one person does one thing. It's a group effort on every single prospect, every single thing, everything, every single person does from the time somebody is on campus matters. And it can make or break, well, you know, whether you get them back for the OB, for a game, you know, whatever it is. So I appreciate everybody. We appreciate everybody from, like I said, the coaches to et cetera, you know, everybody is working with the same goal, you know, to get these top prospects here and, you know, get them locked in with us.
When the portal opens, how quick does your phone die?
The portal's crazy, man. I think it was when you could go in at any time. It was a little rougher because that's like a daily monitoring and check thing. The window is crazier in the moment, but better over time. Kind of how we did it. You know, like I said, there's one of us on each side of the ball, really, too, with the high school relations guys. And you're just pumping guys that make sense for us to these coaches. And everybody's working hand in hand. Who knows this guy here? Whose area is that? Who can get this info? Who knows that guy? And, you know, I think if you look at what we've done the past two seasons, you know, the staff has done a heck of a job, you know, when it comes to bringing talented players to Blacksburg out of the portal to assist us and help us find the right guys that make a ton of sense. And, you know, this like I said, Coach Pry and the staff have done an unbelievable job in doing that and finding fits and guys that have, I mean, you saw how it finished towards the end of the year with the talent that this team has right now. It's exciting. It's exciting for all of us, and it's really reassuring that, you know, makes you think, you sit, you look back and you see somebody make a play. And it's always that, like, the why I do what I do. Just seeing that, you know, on a daily basis, especially during the season, you know, like I said, it's very reassuring for all of us.
Yeah, like, especially, like, I feel like now retainment is almost as big as a part of the process as the recruitment.
Yeah.
And I know, like, the portal's got to be crazy because with the high school kids, you get, you know, 3 to 4 years to cultivate that relationship. Whereas in the portal, Alex Jones has 5 minutes to convince a kid that, or to convince the staff to convince a kid that they should come take one of their visits at Virginia Tech.
I think it's the most, like, almost pro model thing in college football. Because you think about, like, how free agency works in the NFL. These guys are taking one-day visits and deciding if, you know, they're going to XYZ team based on how the visit went, what was discussed, all that. So it's like you said, these kids have limited amount of time, especially in these windows, to be like, here's my 5 visits. I'm going to go here, identify, fit what I'm looking for, see what aligns with what I want, and, you know, I'm going to go from there. And luckily we've done a pretty good job with it. And a lot of guys have chosen us that, and it's made sense for both parties. And, you know, it's, like I said earlier, it's exciting, and we're fortunate to have and get the guys that we have.
Now, our hit rate in the portal is kind of insane. When you think about guys that were brought in that have, like, 1,000% contributed to the on-field. I mean, everybody does, because, you know, you got to have play your part, like, from practice to whatever, but the people that you bring in the portal, typically you want to be, like, day one starters, and they've all impacted us tremendously, and that is, you know, that's your eye, that's the 40 interns' eyes, like, just, like, knowing what we need, and that is a talent in its own.
Yeah, I think especially this past season with how our guys kept our database. Another shout out to them, how well they did keeping that database intact for both sides of the ball, especially on portal guys. I think it was an asset for us when it came to the evaluation and being able to identify the guys that are going to make the most sense for us at the position of need.
I think my favorite part of portal season is all the group chats and Discords and message boards that I'm not on, but I see where people are like, Alex Jones followed such and such.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Detectives, man, are out here.
Hey, I'm glad people are taking an interest in it. You know, it's just it adheres to the passion that this fan base has.
Recruiting is a fascinating thing. Like, I know not everybody like dives into it. Like, I like paying attention, especially from, I mean, it helps with content and stuff too. But like, I think it's just interesting to see like the process, and then if the reward when you finally land somebody that, you know, you're highly sought after, a guy that was like top of your board or whatever. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, each class is exciting. And what we were able to do in 23 and 24 and looking ahead to 25, you know, hopefully we just keep trending up with a lot of these guys we're recruiting and, you know, get the guys that fit us and make sense and can help us win football games.
As the longer you stay in this role, have you found that you've become more comfortable and the pressure might be less, or do you still feel that pressure to like has the pressure level lessened?
No, and that's a good thing, because I would argue that I'm at my worst when I'm probably the most comfortable, when I think I've done a good job, or I feel ahead, or I feel like there's no way that we could do better at XYZ. That's when I would be at my worst. Right now, I've just kind of accepted and hope that the more pressure there is, the better we'll all be because of it. That's what I'm telling myself, at least. Just because I've seen myself, like I said earlier, when I'm comfortable, I don't want to feel that. I'd rather be tense and just, you know, let that be the norm for the time being, at least.
So I'm the same.
I would say, I mean, right now, you know, it's about winning and improving and continuing to build. So you don't want to stay in the same place. You want to keep growing. You want to keep getting better every which way you possibly can.
That's a fact. I'm the same way as far as, like, I'm the best when my feet are to the fire. Like, throw me to the wolves and let me figure it out. Because if you give me too much time, I'm not going to be as pressed to have all my ducks in a row and have my stuff together, you know?
Right. No, same here.
What would you say would be, when you envision what you want to, as you carve out your career and you envision like what you want for yourself, do you have like a end goal in mind to like where you want to be in sports?
I think I've had more people tell me what they envision for me than I actually know. I wish I could sit here and say I've had my entire career planned out, and that would be a total lie. You never know who's going to call. You never know where you're going to be. You never know what's going to happen. I think that's the perfect thing is, like, you know, Coach Holiday was Coach of the Year at Marshall, and he got fired. He was a Conference USA Coach of the Year, and he got let go. I didn't see that happening after the year we had. And I think it's just different for me, where like my biggest goal in this is just to kind of be happy, you know, work for good people, work with good people, you know, feel like I'm getting everything out of the place I'm currently working at and in the role I'm in and how I can continue to grow. And I wish I could sit here and say, yeah, I want to be a GM, or I want to be a general manager in college football or the NFL or something like that. But I don't really look that far ahead in life or career wise. So I just kind of do everything and live life day by day and try to make the best of each day that I possibly can. And, you know, I guess the better answer to the question is no, I don't sit here, and it's not an aspirations thing. It's not that I'm saying I don't want to reach the highest ceiling I possibly can. It's just more how I look at things, where if it was to take a different opportunity, it would have to make a ton of sense to me. And I'm going to be meticulous in how I go about it and look at it. And especially with how happy I am in the role that I am and the place that I am, like, I'm not even bothered looking for anything else at the moment right now. Right now, I'm just focused on what the 2024 Virginia Tech Hokies can do this year.
Bags, man, it seems like you've figured out the cheat code to life. The older I get, I remember when I was young, man, or younger, I should always be like, hey, like, I need to be this, or I want to be that. I really want to have this title. I want to do that. But as I get older, I realize I just want to be happy. That's like the biggest thing in the world is just being happy. Like, it might not look how you thought it might look, but as long as you're happy, that's all that matters, really.
Everybody has their own whys, right or wrong. And then nothing can necessarily be wrong either. Whatever somebody believes is a reason for doing something, taking some opportunity, it's completely up to them. Like I said, for me, like, and that's not even a comfort thing, you know, just when you find a place that you're happy at and can work with everybody and it's easy and it's fun and it's all those things put together, you know, I'm not going to give that up for XYZ benefit. It doesn't make sense to me.
When you're not in the office and you're not the director of player personnel, what does Alex Jones like to do for self-fulfillment, like hobbies, personal interests?
What's funny is, like, if you asked me this a month ago, I couldn't give you an answer. And that's not like me trying to be like some try-hard workaholic. It's just more of like, what I'm passionate about is like this and the people. I have recently been tied down and started seeing somebody. So most of my time outside the office goes to her and spending time with her and her family, or going to see my little nephew up in Ohio and see my boys and all that stuff. So, I mean, just kind of maximizing time with people. And I hop on the game from time to time. Like, I'll go home and crank out a couple hours or something on PS5 or something just to kind of unwind and enjoy some time to myself and everything. But definitely spend time with the people that are important in my life and my close circle.
Was this a Tales from the Teardome hard launch?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for her to hear this.
She
gets embarrassed when she gets, like, tagged on a picture on Instagram and she ain't even in it. So,
yeah. Look at you. Hey, yeah. It's all good, man. I see you cheesing.
Yeah, I'm a smile. Hey, man. But just let her know she got the biggest smile.
Hey, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Salute to happiness in all forms. PS5, when you're just trying to, like, you talking Madden or are you talking?
I don't play sports games, man. I play like single player, like story games. Like, I don't get on like COD. I'm not good enough to like run those games or anything like that.
Yeah, because then you get whooped by a 12-year-old and your whole day is ruined.
Yeah, man. Like, everybody else can play that. I'm good with playing my little single player game and just enjoying the story.
Okay, what do you want right now?
Man, I'll say I play like Baldur's Gate 3 right now, Spider-Man, some stuff like that.
Hey, man, them Spider-Man games were top tier.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. I gotta beat it, though. I gotta find some time.
Yeah, I've been waiting to beat it. Like, I got it. I'm on, like, the final spot, but I just won't log on and do it because I still want to savor it.
Yeah, we got spring break next week. That sounds like a good time for me to cap it off.
Yeah, how much free time do you get during the dead period?
It's been a dead period this whole month, man. We've been working.
Yeah, see, there it is. Just, but is it a little less crazy or no?
It's just different. It's all work. It's all fun. I wouldn't say it's any different. For the dead period, you're probably trying to catch up on stuff for when things go live again. You know what I mean? Trying to
true
that you can't really handle when you got visitors and everything like that. So, you know, Coach Price says all the time, like, we got to recruit at a level we've never recruited at before. We got to keep climbing and growing, getting better and better and better to reach the goals and aspirations he has for the program. So that's what that looks like. That's these three clinics in 18 hours all over the state. You know, all these different things we're trying to do and put forward and, you know, practice what we preach and mean what we say. So.
Yeah, man, we all saw the shirts, 3-7 ?
Yep.
Who puts that together? Who's in charge of that? Because that is
much more creative people than me. I don't know whose idea that was exactly, but I'll stamp it for them. You know, as long as it's a bigger number than 7, man, we all have the goal we want, but you always want to be perfect. But college football is college football. So all we can do is worry about what we do on a daily basis, keep getting better and, you know, get to where we need to be, and the games will take care of themselves.
No, that's facts, man. Well, Alex, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and shoot it with me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud of myself for not cursing. I told you before on here, I was going to handle myself as the most professional manner possible. So I'm glad I may have let one slip, but hopefully it wasn't too bad. Knock on wood.
Nah, man, you're good. And I guess, man, yeah, you mentioned being around people that, like, you care about and stuff. It must be hard to, like, you know, because it's always the sports world is an evolving thing, and people, you know, they jump, they move up the ladder, they go different places. And I know, like, it's a pretty close-knit family there, and we lose some good ones to better opportunities. So I can't imagine that has to suck, but at the same time, you're proud to see them, you know, whatever, get their flowers. And
yeah, whatever people find is an opportunity for them that makes more sense than the one they're currently at, you know, more power to them. I'm happy I'm here. I came in with the mindset this year that I will, not that I'm saying I've had anybody reach out, but I got to be here no matter what, because I just believe in what this team is capable of doing and how special we can be this season. That you see all the excitement on social media, and it's warranted, because these guys are busting their ass right now to reach that goal, to compete and be the best they can be. And you see it every day at hunger drills. You see it every day in the weight room. We're going to see it every day at spring practice. So proud of everybody that's here on this journey with us. Proud of the guys working, the coaches, you know, everybody. It's a special time right now. And I think so, a lot of people are taking notice of what we're capable of doing and the team we can be. And it's going to show. You know, I full-heartedly believe that.
Well, we are happy you're here too, man. And
appreciate that.
We look forward to seeing the progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's coming.
Well, yep.
Hell yeah, man. And as always, dude, go Hokies.
Go Hokies, brother.